Catherine, are you there?
Hi.
Hey.
Yes.
How are
Great
you?
Thanks for joining the show, Justin.
Thank you very much,
good,
Catherine.
Good.
And it's Catherine Marchesini, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Excellent. Chief Privacy Officer for ONC, and just your first-time caller and a first-time guest on my show, so welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here. I look forward to chatting.
Excellent. Same here. So I guess I am probably not as familiar with your role within ONC, so maybe give us 30 seconds on your main charge and what you're overseeing there.
Absolutely. Yeah, happy to. So as you mentioned, I'm the Chief Privacy Officer at ONC, which I serve as a senior advisor to the National Coordinator on areas around privacy, security, data stewardship, and also interact closely with our federal partners and really trying to make sure that, in particular, as we're looking at sharing, accessing, using electronic health information, that we're really looking at baking in privacy and security into the technology and encouraging industry to do so as well.
Excellent. Perfect. So what healthcare and health IT trends are you seeing, at least from your catbird seat in the industry, or would you recommend my audience look out for?
Sure thing. And I know Dr. Rucker and Steve also touched on this, but Justin, one of the trends is really looking at giving patients access to their health information or health records.
Yes.
And particularly, at least where ONC sits, encouraging patients to exercise their HIPAA right of access to get electronic access to data that most healthcare providers and plans have about the individual, as well as those operating on their behalf. And your listeners probably are aware of the term business associates under HIPAA. I think we're somewhat at a tipping point in how industry is thinking about data and the role patients play in healthcare. The HIPAA right of access actually has existed since the HIPAA privacy rule was issued in 2003. Many people aren't familiar with it, or they're not as familiar with it, and they often consider access just as another term for or synonymous with the individual authorization under HIPAA, which is a different method for sharing data. In short, the HIPAA authorization, which It's a permitted disclosure, and it's usually a third party or provider initiated request. Whereas what, the trend is on the HIPAA right of access, it's a required disclosure under HIPAA, and it's usually, it is patient initiated, mm-hmm. And directed on behalf of the patient. And it's actually something that a covered entity has to honor, in most cases. And so, what I'm focusing on, and also the, our broader office, we see that providing individuals with easy access to their health information is, it is a way to empower them. I know Dr. Rucker spoke a little bit about that, to have more control over decisions, regarding health and spending and overall costs. But really, I guess the individual right of access, for it to be fully realized, it has to be operationalized. And part of our efforts is, as you are more than familiar, as well as your listeners, achieving widespread interoperability. This includes creating a mechanism for individuals to readily exercise this access right. And I know Stephen yes. and Dr. Rucker spoke to, the API and ways to get, digital information, making it, available on, the smartphone. But I wanted to just share a little bit about what we've been hearing from stakeholders.
Please.
Since we've issued our proposed rule. There seems to be, there's some concern out there around the security of APIs, application program interfaces, practices that healthcare-related apps are doing, and the secondary use of identifiable electronic health information. I know Dr. Rucker and Steve spoke to the security of APIs. So what I'll share briefly, mm-hmm. Just to talk about some of the privacy, what we've been hearing. I guess a common industry concern is sharing, when you're sharing and releasing health data to the patient, is that the data is no longer going to be protected by HIPAA. So once the data leaves the provider or the EHR's control, in theory, it leaves the protective realm of HIPAA. So you may have been hearing this, and listeners, may have these concerns. It really comes down to the discussion about, what is an allowable secondary use of data, and how should apps address this? And I'll just close with, you know, this is part of a national discussion that extends beyond healthcare. Generally speaking, you know, privacy and security protections do not follow the data, and many in Congress, as well as industry, you know, they're looking at, you know, how do apps use and disclose this data. It's not unique to healthcare. We're trying our best at ONC to strike the right balance between patients' right to access their information for more informed decisions and the concerns around secondary use of data. But really, from a privacy perspective, it's almost about, you know, it's usually about control. An individual's control over the use and disclosure of their data, and, you know, the individual gets to decide that.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. So, and you just covered some of this here, but what are a few best practices or strategies that you can share to help others navigate that?
Sure. So, you know, if folks aren't familiar with the HHS HIPAA access guidance, mm-hmm. This was issued several years ago. And I would just say, you know, learn about the right of access, you know, what is and is not required regarding sharing patient information, and, you know, including sending it to a third party, a mobile app of the patient's choice. And there's written materials, educational videos. There's actually some continuing medical education that really speaks to this. There's also some FAQs. I know there's been some questions about liability, mm-hmm. And business associate relationships when information is shared, kind of what happens there. And then also, you know, if listeners are healthcare providers, if they're a plan, even, you know, developers that might be supporting this, you know, to check in with the medical record management department or the individual, you know, within your office that oversees this function, just to see how your organization is currently handling this and supporting the right of access, to see if there's ways to improve it or even automate it. And then I guess the other kind of best practice or tip for app developers listening in.
Yes.
While ONC doesn't regulate the consumer health technology, so for example, the third-party apps, ONC, you know, we provided what's referred to as the model privacy notice, and really it's a template of sorts that an app developer could use to inform a patient, a consumer, individual about how their technology, you know, stores, uses the information, shares it. It's openly, you know, available. It's free for developers to use, and it's really our effort to encourage transparency.
That's excellent.
So developers can clearly convey, you know, what privacy and security practices they're using. Most people are familiar with the FDA food label. That's kind of mm-hmm. how it's structured or a way that it's modeled after.
No, that's terrific. So a model privacy notice, and I just see that really as instilling confidence for the consumer. So I think that's terrific. I was not aware of that, and I think that's great. So I'm going to actually – where can we find that? Where can I find that?
Great question. Yeah, I failed to mention that. It's available on healthit.gov, the ONC website.
Yeah, I know it well, but I'm going to check that out. So healthit.gov, that is terrific. I mean, for developers to look at that, and if you give them basically a model strategy on how to basically share that from their perspective and what they're doing, so that's excellent.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, and we actually even had it was incorporated, you know, public comment. There's been several rounds of trying to, you know, improve the product, as well as a way to make it, I guess, digitally available in, I guess, a user-friendly format for individuals.
That's terrific. Thank you for that. So healthit.gov, and look up for the model privacy notice. So following up just in our last few minutes, looking beyond, I know as a regulator, it's, you know, you can't do this, you know, probably with as much freedom as us that are, as Dr. Rucker said, as regular citizens. But thinking beyond today, what do you see as a key strategy or trend that we must be ready to successfully navigate in 3 years from now?
I think of two things that I know Dr. Rucker and Steve mentioned as well, but I guess increased data liquidity and portability. People, you know, particularly patients, they're going to want their data faster. They're going to want, you know, more of it, and they're going to demand transparency on all fronts. Patients are going to want to know, you know, more data than what they're receiving now. You know, labs, they want images, you know, things, you know, just as easily on their phone. They're also going to want more control over how they receive that data. So, you know, I know we're trying to move industry toward sharing it with apps or encouraging people to have the option to have that capability. But it could be that, you know, an individual wants to share it with a mobile app or a provider that's not in, in an existing network, or with an individual that's not traditionally seen as a player in the healthcare space. The other kind of area, I think, I just anticipate there being a greater need, I would say an overall desire for trust and transparency. And that's going to become increasingly important, building trust of the individuals that are using the technology, engaging in, also your healthcare delivery system. And then, as mentioned earlier, providing the transparency to individuals. I know Dr. Rucker spoke about transparency, but, yes, being transparent to your users, even when you're unprompted, or required to do so. I mean, patients are going to demand, for example, they're going to want to know how you shared your data, what data did you share, who accessed it. To the extent folks can get ahead of that, I think they'll be better off in the long run.
That is fantastic, Catherine. That you just finished really strong. that was kind of a grand slam of exactly where our healthcare system is going over the next 3 years. So. Terrific.
Thank you. Also, I know we're around lunchtime and if people need to take a break or multitasking.
No, that's fantastic. Thank you. So I guess, and as I asked Dr. Rucker and Steve, any important dates from your perspective that we should keep an eye on, or how, from the year, HHS or ONC or anything from your perspective?
Sure. I know there were some other kind of dates that were thrown out earlier. In addition to what Don and Steve shared, I would mention, there was a discussion about the FACA, the Federal Advisory Committee, and ONC's FACA is referred to as the HITECH, which is an acronym for the Health IT Advisory Committee. They have been a little bit of a break over the summer because they've worked them really hard as we're working through some of the rulemaking. But there's actually going to be a public meeting. All their meetings are public. There's one that is happening on September the 17th. The information, healthit.gov is also where you can get the dial-in. There's an opportunity at every public meeting to provide public comment. And I know, Justin, you mentioned earlier in trying to encourage your listeners to provide positive and negative, comments on the rule. So this actually is almost policy making happening in real time.
Yes.
For listeners that may not be as familiar with FACAs, but they actually provide formal recommendations to our office as we are thinking through particular issues. And so if you or your listeners, want to participate in policy making, but it's some discussions are more lively than others.
Yeah.
But at every meeting, you'll know when it happens, but there's an opportunity for public input. So I would, encourage listeners, if they haven't, participated in the past or, are just interested, that is happening on the 17th of September.
Yeah, that's terrific. And I do encourage everybody, certainly if you have any expertise in the area that's being discussed, do constructively share that. Again, what's working, what's not working. It's important for government. It's important for industry to see that. And you guys are terrific. I got to say, I've not had the pleasure of meeting you yet, but I've known Don and Steve for a very long time, and how just your office, the ONC, takes our comments so seriously, reviews every single one. And I know that for a fact because we're in meetings and through the decades now, where someone from ONC will recite a public comment that was written, and just a random one, and they know. I know for a fact, they've mentioned this on air, these public comments. And so, you guys just take all of our information and distill it down, and we're grateful for all your hard work and your expertise.
No, thank you. Thank you, Justin. Thank you for having me on your show and for what you're doing to help your listeners better navigate this area of healthcare, and encouraging folks to get involved.
Well, I appreciate it. And then you're great. Just so you know, your topic is extremely complex. I mean, with privacy and then the nuts and bolts of what goes into privacy and security in our industry, it's extremely difficult to understand, but you did a great job explaining it and explaining what's important and why it's important, and then how to engage. And so I'm grateful for that and thankful for your time, Catherine.
Thank you. Likewise. Take care.
Catherine Marchesini, ONC Chief Privacy Officer. So again, thank you.